Welcome back to In Your Corner, a podcast by Men's Fight Club specifically for men. We will be covering subjects weekly to address things that men do, things that men shouldn't do, and things that men should aspire to do. All this is designed to encourage men to want to become better fathers, better husbands, better brothers, better sons, and ultimately the leader that they were designed to be. We will bring in special guests to shed light from experience as they speak from wisdom on an unscripted format. So let's hear from the men in your corner. Let's go.
All right, men. Thanks so much for tuning in with us today. We really do appreciate you. I'm Will Grosskopf, the founder of Men's Fight Club, and this podcast is going to be a good one. I'm here with my spiritual father, my mentor, Pastor Vince Farrell, which is an amazing man of God, amazing leader, great visionary, probably the best visionary I've ever seen in my life. And one of my spiritual fathers, I've got two other ones. One of them has passed on and went to heaven. We know for facts he's in heaven. He was a great man of God. And but I'll tell you, Vince Farrell has been instrumental in my life in such a way that it's got me to where I'm at today. I would not be here sitting here doing this podcast without his influence in my life. And so I really do appreciate him and who he represents in my life. And I tell you, I've learned a lot from you, Pastor, and I just really, really appreciate you being here today to speak on the subject of spiritual fatherhood.
Well, you're very kind, Will. Appreciate that.
Yes, it's a big deal. You know, I had a natural father, and you know, he left my life at a very young age. Matter of fact, I don't even know when. Yeah, I don't know, it was before I was three, because when I was three, I got a stepfather. And a stepfather in my life was a very hard and difficult man, and I grew up with a tough life. And I got put out on my own when I just turned 17, and had to finish school on my own, and enter life on my own. And I did not realize the importance of having a father in my life, you know, or the lack of it, because at that time I was running on my own, and everything I knew as a man was not even godly. I was so far from God, it was really ridiculous. I was running on my own strength. But as I grew older, I got introduced to my dad again when I was 39 years old, met him. And we didn't have a great relationship, but I was thankful for the 4 years I got with him, which is a good time, really good time. I still have a relationship with my current stepfather, but at the same time, it's not the same. We don't have any kind of spiritual relationship whatsoever. But Rick Clendenin introduced me to a concept, spiritual fatherhood, and I know you know Rick, and as a matter of fact, y'all are spiritual brothers because y'all have the same spiritual father.
Right.
And which is amazing.
And but Rick was a spiritual mentor to this church.
Absolutely.
He gave insight. In fact, the reason why I'm pastoring here today is because of Rick Clendenin.
Amen.
A pastor who wanted to retire, viewed him as a spiritual mentor in his life, and said, hey, I'm looking at retiring. Do you know a guy? And Rick, because of his spiritual father, which is my father-in-law, said, yeah, let me do some contacting. And so through that relationship and through a lot of prayer and guidance through the Holy Spirit, here we are today. So it's because of Rick.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, even though it's we say it's because of Rick, we will go a step further. It's because of Dale being an influence in his life.
Absolutely.
And so I look at it like, yeah, Dr. Dale's a spiritual grandfather to me. And but the whole concept of spiritual fatherhood really made me understand the concept of authority. You know, and really when I was a young man, I had such of a lack of authority over me that I thought I had all authority within me. And what it did is let me understand, really, I had no respect for authority whatsoever. And so when I was sent to this church, when I was sent to Journey Church, and I come in under you, it was an awakening in my life that I never had before. I'd already been preaching before. I'd already been doing men's ministry before. I already got all that stuff. And I already understood men's fellowship. But what I didn't know is how to refine it. And you've got a way of really communicating and articulating with people that what is needed to be said and what is needed to be done, but it has to be done in such a manner that's digestible. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I remember preaching, and I've got every one of your critiques in the back of my head, and every one of them, some of them were extremely funny, and I believe there's truth in comedy. You know, and so when you made it funny, it made me go, yeah, you know, I see that. Yeah, I could correct that. I could change that. Some of them really felt kind of harsh, sure. And I was like, man, this guy is it. is a jerk.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because I'm a man, I need a man to speak to me as a man. Mm. So you as a father too, when I need a father, and you're younger than me.
Right.
Which people are like, oh, it's crazy. How could a guy younger than you be a father? Well, that's the thing about the spirit world.
Right.
When you're spiritual, it has nothing to do with your age.
And that's a great point to bring up is you said, you know, being a part of churches, a lot of churches preach this concept, or at least in the Bible form, it's laid out there. But then practicing it is totally different.
Oh,
in fact, it's unnatural, like you said, because how can a younger guy be a father? And spiritually speaking. And so I get this question all the time as a pastor, and I know my father-in-law does too. And I get the question, how in the world can you pastor Dale Yerton? I mean, the yes. man, the myth, the legend, the amazing Dale Yerton, who he is. I mean, he's been in ministry longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And then he gets it from his side, you know, what's it like having your son-in-law as your pastor? And we both say the same answer, and that is we understand spiritual authority.
Yes.
You know, so him as my father-in-law and as a spiritual father to this house, or grandfather, like you said so eloquently, and myself being the spiritual father of this house, and then the relationship we have not only in a family, but also as a spiritual context, this man has planted churches worldwide. He pastors and mentors hundreds and hundreds of spiritual leaders globally, and yet he sits in our sanctuary. You know, it can be intimidating, and I get all that. But if you understand spiritual authority and how it works and not the abuse of it, then it flows beautifully. You know, and
it does. So
you as a not only a spiritual son in my life, but a mentor in my life, and then serving as associate pastor. And so how does that flow? Because of dual respect and honor. And so I can speak to you bluntly, and you can take it. You can speak to me bluntly, and I can take it. You can speak rebuke in my life, and I can take it. And why? Because we understand how authority works. Authority is never designed to keep people under a thumb. It's designed to release freedom.
That's right.
I love how you said it Sunday morning when you preached. Use your freedom to make others free.
Absolutely.
So good.
Absolutely. And that's really my life's mantra on there, because, you know, there was a time in my life when I was so bound, and really was bound by anger and pride and arrogance. And, you know, without a father that understood how not to be like that, I was lost. Like I said, my stepdad, the one I knew all my whole life, was very, very hard, a very hard man. He doesn't know compassion. He doesn't know how to love. In reality, if you look at his life, that's why his father loved him. So therefore, he didn't know how to change. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to pass that on. And because he doesn't really know God, he doesn't have a relationship with God, at least not to my knowledge, because he never talks about it. What I'm saying is he doesn't have a joyful relationship that he would express it. You know what I'm saying? I pray that he knows God. But since he doesn't, then he doesn't know how to lead me or lead others spiritually. And really that right there makes the world a difference. When you can actually lead somebody spiritually, you can actually open doors in their life to be able to live life like nobody else.
You know, you said earlier about a visionary, and I greatly appreciate that compliment. The verse in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people, some translations say, perish, cast off restraint. The good old Southern version is run amok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there is no vision, people run amok. And really, what that deals with is the subject of helping people stay within the boundaries and guidelines of life. You know, and so to me, the best vision casting is that fatherhood. You know, you're casting purpose and vision and plans and a future for the next generation or for the person next to you. And so spiritual fatherhood is really helping someone see the destiny God has for them, you know, and putting those boundaries in, you know, that accountability, that fortitude of this is the lane you need to stay in, and I'm going to help you along the way get there.
Yes, definitely. And I could see that in my own life. At my first church that I was at, I had a great pastor, and I respected him as a pastor. He was right. My pastor, and I would armor bear for him and everything. Mm. But when it come down to allowing him access to my life and allowing him to speak really thoroughly into my life, I didn't have that. I didn't allow that to happen. And when I went to my next church, I got under Pastor Brad Fancher, mm-hmm. amazing man of God.
Absolutely.
And I was going through one of the most terrible times of my life. When I was going through that terrible time of my life, I was also running on my own strength. And like I said, I was very prideful and very arrogant. And the bad thing about pride and arrogance, most of the time the person that's prideful and arrogant doesn't know that they're prideful and arrogant.
Right.
And so really what I thought was I thought I was at my most spiritual high. Like, I'm on top of the world. I'm doing this. I'm God's man. That's really what I was thinking.
Sure.
And during that time, I had one of the greatest falls of my entire life. Mm. And this fall about destroyed me as a leader, right. About destroyed me.
Yeah.
And I remember in that moment, because I didn't recognize at the time what spiritual authority was. I didn't recognize a spiritual father to the extent I needed to. And I didn't have one close. Rick lived in such a distance away that he wasn't close to me, you know. So I didn't really have that personal interaction yet. And so with that, when it come time with me making a mess, I had a spiritual father there to clean it up, but he wasn't a spiritual father in my life yet. Brad was not. Pastor Brad was, he was still just a preacher, a pastor to me. But when it come time to do discipline, which is one area I wasn't familiar with, you know, I'm really thinking, well, I'm not intimidated by this guy because I didn't recognize his authority in my life yet. So when it comes time to do spiritual discipline, I'm thinking, well, he's just going to come in. Hey, Will, you know, I think we ought to, you know, work on this. Maybe him haul around, you know, is what I was thinking. But he didn't. He comes into the office. Hey, Will, I'm glad you're here. I really want to help you out. And so I'm really thinking, all right, well, I can run this guy over. That's what I was thinking. But he went to go shut the door, and for some reason the door slammed, and that was kind of odd. That was not like Pastor Brad, you know. And he wasn't doing it mad. But I remember he came over and he said, I really want to help you out. I want to make sure we get things going. And then he snapped his finger and he put it in my face, which is kind of weird. And he said, I just want you to know, I want to help you see, I'm going to help see you through to the end. But if you lie to me, if you're going to try to fool me, if you're going to try to not make this work, if you're not going to do this, I'll be the first one to walk you out of this church and I could care less if you come back. And in that moment, I was like, that is a fathering moment.
Right.
That's the voice I needed. Right. That was the one thing I didn't allow anybody to do, was actually father me. Mm. And so right then I knew exactly what I wanted, but I didn't ask him for that. But I knew there was something I was lacking. So it helped me to start navigating my life in the right way. And once I got all that in the right direction and pulled my life back to where I needed it to be, God used those moments for a teaching moment for me to be able to learn and grow. And then he allowed me to be sent to Journey Church.
Yeah. So, and the relationship Pastor Brad and I had that implemented that was just, you know, a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand when they hear about people going to different churches. But let me say this, something you said that really sparked what I hear people ask all the time. And that is, you know, I'm looking for a spiritual father. I'm looking mm-hmm. for a mentor. How do I find that person? And again, you've got a list of qualities that you always counseled men that come up to you. But I want to speak to the spiritual fathers of
yes.
of those that who are going to be mentoring. Because a lot of times we are so honored that someone asks us, mm-hmm. we just automatically say yes. And sometimes saying yes to individuals is the wrong thing. And so we have to recognize when someone comes to ask us, hey, will you be a spiritual father in my life? And this is, and I'm relating this to when you asked me years ago. We have to recognize as leaders, as spiritual fathers, what they're asking for. Because some people, and I love to use the analogy between Elijah and Elisha,
mm-hmm.
okay? And when Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want? I mean, this is the best question, you know. Well, what do you want from me? When you ask me to be your spiritual father, what do you want from me? And this is important to understand because some people, they want what's in your head. Oh, man, if I could just preach like Pastor yes. Brad, if I could just preach like Pastor Vince, if I could just preach like, you know, if I could just do what they did. You know, they want what's in your head. They want the knowledge. You know, Dale Yurton gets this all the time. Oh, man, if I could just preach and teach like you, I'd be a success. Well, yeah, after 50 years, you know, it's like, and so it's a process, it's a journey. And so if people are wanting what's in your head, you just need to be mindful of that. And you can spend a couple hours teaching them what you know. And then there's some people that say, well, man, if I could have what's in their hand, you know, man, if I could build a church like they built. Oh man, they look around our place and they're like, man, this is beautiful. This, you've got this and this. How, and you know, who'd you use for your banners? Who'd you use for your lights?
Oh, yes.
How'd you get that? And I'm always, anything we have, you can have, you know, we don't mind sharing what our information. We learn the hard way on a lot of things. And so we'd love to help you not make those same mistakes, but what's in your hand, you know, that dollar, that, you know, that building. And so individuals who are asking that, you just need to be aware. Elisha responded to Elijah. He said, give me a double portion of your spirit.
That's right.
This is the key element, is when people are asking, give me what's in your heart.
Yes.
When you get someone who is chasing after your heart, then that's, in my opinion, the best way to pay attention to and run with and journey with and mentor and spiritual relationship build, because that's a person that understands this whole thing that's in your hand, this whole thing that's in your head. Those are byproducts.
Mm-hmm.
You give me a portion of what's in your heart. How the how to, the reasons behind the thing, you know, what's the thing behind the thing? The heart. And I think you've learned, especially in our relationship, that, yeah, I may come across as harsh at times, or I may come across as, you know, forward, like Pastor Brad, you know, shutting the door and just laying it out. But those are the things that attract you, because you see the heart of the person.
That's right.
And I want what's in the heart. You know, I want Dale Yurton's heart in my life. You know, his messages, he gives away free. You know, his teaching, he gives all that away, and that's glorious. But I want to know how. How did we come to this point?
You
know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to encourage those that are looking for spiritual fathers in their life, and those that are looking to be spiritual sons in people's lives, to understand that this whole process, and I love how it said, if you want to grow mushrooms, it's going to take you a couple of days. You want to grow trees, it's going to take you 20 years. But if you want to grow people, it's going to take you a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And spiritual fatherhood is going to take a lifetime.
It is. It is. One thing I learned too is to add to that, because I love your concept in there. I use it even in my own life. Is the person that you're going to mentor, that you're going to father, are they willing to replicate what you're doing?
Right.
Because, I mean, if not, if I mean, I'm trying to really wrap the head around where people need to be, is we're all Barnabases. There's few Timothys and there's few Pauls.
Right.
You know, so if I'm going to be a Paul in somebody's life, I need a Timothy that wants to be a Paul.
Sure.
Not a Timothy that just wants to be a Timothy, or not a Timothy that just wants to be a Barnabas. I need a Timothy that's willing to be a Paul as well. So if you're going to pour into somebody, it needs to be somebody that's willing to pour into the next generation as well.
And that's when you'll see the heart issue.
That's right. And that's really what I was going to say. Once you realize that from their heart, it's easy to pour your heart into it, because you're like, hey, you know, whatever I've got, like you said, whatever resources I have, they're yours.
Yeah.
Whatever we have available, it's yours. Whatever I could teach, it's yours. And I like how you said it, because if you have my heart, you got my hand.
Absolutely.
You got my head. You got all that. But if you're only seeking the other two, you're far from the heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. It's people who see success in ministry, you know,
mm-hmm.
and be like, oh man, I want to plant a church and I want to pastor. And yeah, great. And you may have, you know, some quick immediate success, you know, but scripture talks about how things spring up real quick and then troubles come and they wilt away. And the same way in life that I've had to learn as a pastor is not thinking in terms of 1 year, you know, okay,
mm-hmm.
1 year from now, I want to be like this in the church. I want to have this many people. I'm thinking more like 10 years, you know. In 10 years, I want to see this type of growth. I want to see our people mature this level, because I'm in it for the long haul. And so in the same way, the heart is what we got to get back to.
Oh, yeah. I know with my first mentor, Willie Trawick, amazing man of God, I learned how to intercede and I learned how to interact with people. Mm. With Willie, with Rick Clendenin, I learned how to have compassion for people and know how to love them. But with you, I learned leadership.
Appreciate
and that. And leadership really took the first two things I learned to the next level.
Sure.
Because if not, all I would do is convey what I want done and just pray it happen without setting an example of how to follow. And that's one thing I've noticed in your life is of course, I'm a people watcher too. So I watch how you interact with your wife. I watch how you interact with your kids. I think you do an excellent job. But I also think that you do that exact same thing to the church, that you love on the people of the church and that you share your heart. I mean, and a lot of times, yes, you wear your heart on your sleeve because you want to be vulnerable. You want to be accountable. And you also want to be transparent to say, hey, I'm just like you. I'm a person too. I love the fact that you're very, very much a people person and that you're very interactive with people. The kids love you just the same as the adults do. I think that's very important. To me, that's how Jesus lived. Jesus made sure that, hey, no, tell the kids to come here. I love how you do it at your church and you're always saying, I don't care if you bring coffee into the sanctuary. It's not the kids that spill the coffee. It's the adults. Let the kids come. Right. You know, if they don't feel comfortable going to the back for a couple weeks and just want to sit with the parents, let them come on. Absolutely. Give them a supper and give them a sucker. It doesn't matter. If they get the chair sticky, that's fine. We'll get another chair. I love how you do that, that kind of interaction. Serving donuts at a cafe that have pink icing and sprinkles on it, knowing it's going to get smeared in the chairs, but you're like, hey, bring the kids. And if you bring the kids, you got the parents. That's where the heart of the parents is anyway, the kids. And so I really love that you actually convey that message of who you are in your own home in the church.
I appreciate that. Again, my heart as a young guy who's going to pastor, I told my spiritual father, I'm not going to fit in the box of what a pastor is supposed to do. You know, and that comes from religious mindsets, and not even religious in the negative sense of, how dare you think that way, but just in the context of the system. You know, everything is a product of a system. Yes. When God created man, he first created a solar system. And so we exist today because God had an order of things. And the church system is going to produce what it produces. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you get upset or angry about, oh, man, that's just a religious system, well, then change it. And so for myself as a leader, I apologize. For myself as a leader, I always want to make sure that we are producing a system that says people are more important than programs.
That's right.
Programs are important, but people come first. And this building in the old system of church religiousness was holier than it meant to be, mm-hmm. Don't put anything on the walls. Don't put thumbtacks on the walls. This is God's house. I heard that as a youth pastor when I served. We don't allow things like that. This is God's house. Well, and I'm reading the Bible going, I thought I'm the temple.
That's right.
I thought, here we are in 2024 and we're still, church is not a building. Really? I thought we learned that 30 years ago. Come on, y'all, move on. Like we're the church, but gathering is important too. So again, and I'm ranting on a side trail, but my point is that systems are important, but if you don't like the system you're in, then change it. Don't complain about it. Change it. And so for us as a church, this building is simply a tool. We are the temple of God. Doesn't mean we don't respect the property and don't, take time scrubbing those donuts off the chair seats, of course. But we're not going to say, we're not going to say no if it's not life-threatening.
Yeah.
And so we want to be a people group and a church that displays the heart of God, which is he loves people.
That's right. And then with a spiritual father, one thing I noticed too, one thing I really liked is, I wasn't at Journey Church very long, and I'd asked you if I could take over the men's ministry. And you was like, okay, well, good luck. It's four guys sitting around eating a biscuit and talking about the current events. And that was fine. But with the stuff I'd learned in the past, it helped me want to take off of that. But the point I'm trying to get at is, is you allowed me the freedom to push a new direction. And I've seen you do that several times in the church where you're like, hey, if you've got a vision, I'm for you.
Yeah.
And so
if my job is to just set parameters.
Yeah.
When you came, of course, we already had a relationship before you started coming here.
Yeah.
You know, several years of working together, working underneath you and learning. And so the parameters I set, here's the left parameter, here's the right parameter, keep it out of the ditches, you know. And so, and then there was, and because we're in a church system, and what that means is people from other churches, people from other backgrounds come in, and this is how they've always done it. This is what they expect. And so my parameters to you was, I don't want to do it that way. You know, I want you to have the vision and do it different. So come up with something that is different than what typically men's ministry looks like. And you've done a great job at that.
Well, I appreciate that. But I know within that freedom, we did give with a men's ministry, took it to the next level, really grew it, got some guys involved. That was good. And what that was doing was passing on the heart of what you was doing on Sunday mornings, the heart of what we was learning on Wednesday nights. And then I went through a major transition and really felt that God was calling me to do something greater. And when I shared that vision with you, that's where we're at right now with Men's Fight Club. And I love it because you actually came up with a name for it. And I'll never forget when we had our first flyer out there, the first thing saying, hey, we're going to do a men's breakfast. And, you know, our logo is the fist in a circle. And you've done a fistful of bacon.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's perfect. That says something about who we are. And I just love it. But most of all, Pastor, I just want you to know that I'm thankful for the man you are in my life. I'm thankful for the father you are to not just your family, but to this church and to me and the men that are under me. Because my goal as a spiritual son is to reflect the father. Yeah. And I really believe that if you're going to follow somebody, you need to follow somebody that's following somebody.
Right.
You know, and like Paul says, follow me as I imitate Christ. Okay, well, I can see, Pastor, that you're doing a great job of imitating Christ. And sure. The thing is, I know that you're not perfect. You know you're not perfect, but you're the perfect example for me to follow as I'm following Christ.
Appreciate that.
So I definitely appreciate you. And I thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. I think this subject is definitely one worth talking about. I really, really, really encourage men to start seeking out spiritual fathers. Get somebody they can follow, but make sure that person's following someone as well.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and do our final round here of surviving a 10 count. I've got some great questions I want to ask you. I know you're going to do some amazing answers on it. So my goal is to try to trip you up.
Yeah. Well, you already have by asking me to be a part of something without me having anything to prepare for.
Yes.
Don't you know, my anxiety is really high.
yes, but I love it. I love it, and you did a good job at it. All right, so here we go. What's the worst food you ever ate?
Oh, my goodness. Worst food is anything I don't know what's in it.
All right. Beaches or mountains?
Mountains.
Mountains. All right. What embarrasses you the most?
Not being prepared. I'm not going to give you I'm just going to say I love being prepared because it helps me be a bad representation of who I'm trying to represent.
There you go. What single line of advice would you give your teenage self?
Oh, my goodness. Rome wasn't built in a day. Take time, man. Enjoy the journey and realize it does not have to be done today. There is a tomorrow, believe it or not.
Absolutely. What's the one way you serve your spouse best?
Speaking her language and realizing that when she has an issue, that I come to the table and I ask her first, do you want me to listen to this issue or do you want me to fix this issue?
Gotcha.
And 90% of the times, it's just listen. So just be there and be a support.
Gotcha. What's your favorite music genre?
Oh, back in the 90s, it was rap, Christian rap. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
Gotcha. Who's your favorite Bible character besides Jesus?
Moses. He was the first original pastor.
What was your most important accomplishment?
Having kids that love God.
Who's your most influential person?
Besides Dale Yerton? I mean, he is. He is a spiritual father and mentor. And my story, like yours, not having a strong family fatherhood, I would put my youth pastor, Preston Smith, and Dale Yerton as the two men of God in my life that helped me to be where I'm at today.
Got you. And what's your most inspirational quote?
Oh, my goodness. I say a lot of them, so they vary from season to season. One that sticks with me that I use probably the most is methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, principles never do.
Absolutely, and I've heard you say it a lot, and I've actually used it a lot in my own life. And so, Pastor, I definitely appreciate you being here.
Thanks
Thank you so
me.
Much for tuning us with us today on the Men's Fight Club In Your Corner podcast. Thank you, men.
So there you have it, men. Thank you for letting us be in your corner today. I pray you continue to stay connected to us each week as we cover a new subject with other godly men who want to see you succeed. Don't forget to check us out at mensfightclub.net and also on Facebook at Men's Fight Club. To make sure you don't miss out on any up and coming topics, like and subscribe if you enjoyed what you heard. If you would like to join in supporting Men's Fight Club, click the link to donate. Remember, who you are and what you do are important to the kingdom. No one is meant to fight alone. Stay strong, stay connected, fight on.